Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Glad that you all have chosen to worship with us this morning. As every week, I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and I hope you feel the love of God's people in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, it may be your first visit. You may be have come a few times and are checking us out, and that's okay. We don't mind being checked out. We are glad that you are here. I invite you, if you've never registered with us, besides the little white registration sheets, if you are a visitor, we've got a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out and let us know who you are. We don't want to just do church. We want to be a family of believers and be engaged with one another. On that blue card, you can see there's an email. Spot for your email, and if you want to be added to our email list, you can check that little box. I also do invite you to keep those registration cards going down the aisle if you haven't done that. Just glad that you're here. At the end of the service, if you're visiting with us this morning and we have not met, I would love to meet you. You can bring your blue card with you. I will be down at this end of the foyer. I have a free gift for you and would love to meet you and get to know you. And if you don't want to do that, you can just leave your blue card there in the seat as you leave. Matthew 7. Turn with me to Matthew 7. In your handout there, and I've started doing this. I think I'm going to keep doing it. The words of Christ in red. I want you to know when we read the words of Christ, that we're reading the words of Christ. Did I say that? If I'm reading the words of Christ, I'm reading the words of Christ. Okay? They're not my words. They're not man's words. They're God's words. Directly from the mouth of our Savior. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. Jesus said this. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. Hello. I mean, there's a wide, do you hear what he's saying? There's a wide gate that people are flooding through that leads to destruction. That's not good, church. We don't want that. Jesus doesn't want that. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Woo! I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words. Convict our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Convict us. Teach us. Speak in power and authority. And transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, continuing the sermon series. By the way, Brent, good job last week. Where's Brent in here? See, running around, rounding up kids somewhere. Brent preached for me last week while Cheryl and I were out of town. And I don't have any magic tricks for you. If you were here and saw he had this little magic trick thing in the front, I don't have. I'm too old to do magic tricks. But appreciate him doing that. But we're continuing the sermon series I've been on. What really matters? What really matters? And this week, today's message is Jesus matters. Now that may seem, you may hear that and go, yeah. Okay, yeah, Jesus matters. But many people, many churches are filled all over the place that don't get that. We somehow think that, that it's about being good or doing good stuff or following certain the historical things we do in church, you know, saying certain things and doing certain things and dressing a certain way. We put all these things that we do and we think that, we put it in a box and we think, that's Christianity. No, that's not it at all. Jesus matters. And I've had permission to share this story. Dean Higginbotham, raise your hand, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Dean Higginbotham, about a month ago, I went back and looked. It's just been a little over a month. I got a phone call. I was actually at a Gideon's dinner, great Gideon's dinner, and coming to the end of that event, and got a text that said Dean had, they weren't sure at the time, maybe perhaps had a stroke or something was going on. He was in the ER, and so I left and hustled over to the ER walked in, and Dean is sitting there on the side of the bed, and I walked in, and we know each other pretty well, right, Dean? We know, see each other every week, and I walked in, and I just looked at him, and Dean looked at me, and he had this blank look on his face, and he said, "Do I know you?" And he wasn't kidding. "Do I know you?" And I said, a very profound theological statement. Are you ready? You can write this down. I said, "I'm your favorite preacher." And he went, "Oh, okay. That's it. Do I know you?" And now Dean, even from Dean, Dean's not Jesus, but that still hurt. It still hurt a little bit. I thought, man, I see you every week. You know, I'm thinking, and of course, I felt better later. I come to find out he barely recognized his wife and his children and grandchildren as well. But you're better now, right, Dean? Yes. It's all good.
I remember your name.
Yeah. The next day, he woke up and he just started screaming. They said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I remember my preacher." No, he didn't. That didn't happen. No, that didn't happen. But I mean, even with a friend, that kind of hurt. Do I know you? I don't want to hear that from the Lord. Do I know you? When I go and meet him face to face, I don't want to hear those words. I would rather hear something like, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus matters. Relationship with him matters. First thing I want us to talk about today, with that in mind, Jesus matters because our eternity hinges upon knowing him. Our eternity, you know, I've seen surveys. I haven't looked it up in a few months, but I've seen all kinds of surveys that it's like, you know, around 80% or so of church going people, if you ask them, how do you get to heaven, you know what their answer is? Be a good person. You know, 70-80% of Christian church going people answer that question, you got to be a good person. No! Is anybody listening? No! That's not it. Know him. Know him. Because he knows you and he hung on a cross for you. Your eternity hinges on it. I will tell them plainly, Jesus said, "I never knew you." Please, if you're in the sound of my voice this morning, don't ever hear that from the Savior. If our last day, you know, I was talking with Pete and Betty this morning. We were talking about Jackie's stroke yesterday. And Jackie, you know, is been in pretty good health and all. It's like life can change that quick for any of us. It can change that quick. And when we go to see our Savior face to face, know him, church. Know him. Hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Secondly, Jesus matters because he provides abundant life. Not someday when we die and we go to be with him, not just then, but now, today. I've said this a few weeks ago, but I want to say it again. I've never had anybody come to me in my office and talk to me, and we've had counsel. And I mean, even when we're walking with the Lord, life can be messy. I get that. But I've never had anybody come in and say, you know, man, I am walking with the Lord. I am praying. I'm going to church, and I've been fellowship. I'm serving Him. I'm reading the Word. I'm doing all these things, and my life is a mess. I just don't hear that. Now circumstances can create chaos in our lives. I know that we can lose jobs, and we can have, you know, medical diagnosis that throws us off. But even in the midst of that, and I see it all the time. I don't have their permission to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think they'll have grace with me. But we went to see, Billy and I went to see Jim and Kay McDonald this week. And I could name many of you that fall in this same category. And Kay, she's been battling. She's had two rounds of extensive rounds of chemo. She's going to have back surgery, and then she's got radiation following that up and everything. And in the midst, I mean, she was down. They were tired. But in the midst of that, there was peace. That's what I'm talking about. That's an abundant life. It's like, man, life throws stuff at us. How do we have peace in the midst of that? How do we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control? How do we have that in the midst of the chaos that can come in this life? Jesus. Jesus. Say that name with me. Jesus. You know, I had, I'm gonna go ahead and move into the next one because it ties better. Jesus matters, thirdly, because there's power in His name. There's power in that name. You know, Philippians 2 says it this way: therefore, God exalted Him, speaking of Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Now, I asked Trevor for us to sing that song. There's something about that name because, number one, I love that song, and number two, it fit with what we're going to talk about today. But that song was written in 1970 by Bill and Gloria Gaither, and many of y'all know like the Gaither Vocal Band, and Bill Gaither's written, you know, some Because He Lives, and on and on and on. I could tell you songs that they've written, but. It was in 1970, and they were both young people, and they were just starting out in life, and they had both of their parents had just died, and their kids were little, and they were just overwhelmed. We don't have any support from mom and dad, and we got these little kids, and we don't know what the crud we're doing, and it's just like, man, and they began to just get this spirit of peace. It's like, Jesus. And that song starts out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. No matter what life throws at us, there's something about that name. Jesus is just, for me, my own walk in life, and y'all have heard, if you've been here for very long, you've heard my testimony, but I was raised with a good mom and dad, and I was raised in church, and I heard sermons every Sunday, and I was, you know, president of the youth group, and I was Sunday school teacher, and I served on all kinds of boards and did all kinds of things and everything, and I found myself at 31 years old, and I had no clue that Jesus loved me. I mean, I just missed it, because mom and dad, they can lead, you know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, you know. And I had opportunities to know that, but somehow I'd missed it. It's like, wait a minute. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He died for me. It's not about what I do for Him. It's about what He's done for me. And suddenly that name, Jesus, had real life-changing significance for me. It made me a better husband. It made me a better man. It made me a better daddy. It made me a better employee. It made me a better everything. And God's still working on me. But the name of Jesus has power. It's transforming. I picked three things that Jesus does and that name is all about. There's so many. I mean, I could preach sermons for weeks about this. But the first I want to say, Jesus heals. After Peter and John had healed a crippled beggar at the temple, the Jews threw him in prison. These guys, how dare you heal this person? And that's infringing. That's infringing on our territory, our turf. So they threw them in prison, and they're talking about at the trial that they're publicly ridicule them. They're going to punish them. And here's what Peter said: "It is by the name, there it is, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." It's by the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. If you're ever struggling, if you're ever tempted about anything, if you're ever frightened, if you're ever just anxiety of any kind, just start saying the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's power. Hello? Somebody say power with me. There's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, it's not just some, that's a preacher just talking about. I've used it. I've used it as a weapon. It's like a weapon. A spiritual weapon, Jesus. If any of those things are going on in your life, just start saying Jesus.
Amen.
See what happens. See if your mood doesn't lift. See if your circumstances don't seem quite as overwhelming as they did just the moment before you started saying that name. He heals, and he not only heals physically, but it says in Psalms, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I mean, he wants wholeness for us. He doesn't want brokenness for us. He wants wholeness for us. Jesus healed, the power of the name of Jesus. Jesus saves. Acts 4 says salvation. What does it mean when we say salvation? It means we are a people in need of what? Saving. Something's gone wrong here. We need to be saved from whatever this is. And in this case, it's sin and death. Salvation is found in no one else. Now, if you start hearing nonsense, I'm just telling you, I'm just being real with you. If you start hearing nonsense about, Allah is the same as the God that we serve and all that stuff, I'm like, what do they think about Jesus? That's the first thing you ask them. What do they say about Jesus? Not just Allah, but anything. If you start hearing that kind of nonsense, salvation is found in no one else, and there is no other name. We're speaking of Jesus here. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. It's the only name that saves us. The world, I promise you, it probably won't be too many more years where I could be put in prison for what I'm preaching to you right now. That happens. It's already happening in places like Canada and stuff. Are you listening? Anybody hearing what I'm saying? Jesus saves, and I promise you, you may find me in prison someday, but I'm going to shout it until the day God takes me home. Because Jesus has saved me. He has changed me. And I will shout it to the very last breath. Jesus finally, Jesus redeems. Now, I want to talk about that word redeem for a second. I was looking up different definitions of the word redeem, and this is one I like the best. To recover ownership of something by paying a specified sum. Recovering ownership. We, through surrender to Jesus Christ, He redeems us. He recovers ownership of us, but we voluntarily offer that to Him, allow Him to recover ownership. Christ, in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So, I guess I want to wrap it up this way, church. When we think about things that really matter in our life, I just want you to know there's power in the name of Jesus. And it matters. It matters. And we've talked about, I'm not downplaying the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit matters as well. But Jesus is the one that suffered and died for us. And He sent the Holy Spirit, which is incredibly important. Incredibly important. But I'm just telling you, Jesus, nobody hung on a cross for me but Jesus. Nobody hung on a cross for you but Jesus. Buddha didn't hang on a cross for you. Muhammad didn't hang on a cross for you. I didn't hang on a cross for you. Your mom and your daddy didn't hang on a cross for you. Jimmy, why am I going blank here? Our just lost somebody. Say it loud. Somebody come finish this sermon for me, please.
Is it Jimmy Swagger?
Billy Graham. Can I hear Billy Graham?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham, a great man. He didn't hang on a cross. I don't know why I just went blank. I guess needed some comic relief there. I don't know. Man, say that word with me again. Say his name with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Now, hold on just a second. We're going to say it again. But as you're saying it, I want you to picture that you're at the foot of the cross and you're looking up. I do this sometimes when I pray. It's powerful for me. I want you to close your eyes as we say this name, and I want you to picture yourself at the foot of the cross and you're looking up, and you know you deserve to be up there. But Jesus is hanging on that cross and he's nailed there and he allowed those nails to hold him up there. And he's looking down at you. And he's not looking down with a mean scowl on his face. He's looking down in love. And his eyes are saying, it's okay. It's okay. I love you. You were worth it. So just, if you would, just close your eyes. I want you to put yourself there. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Say his name with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for taking those nails for us. We thank you for redeeming us and saving us and healing us. We thank you that you provide abundant life. We thank you that there's power in your name. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for taking all of this for granted. For getting caught up in the busyness of our lives and taking it for granted. Teach us to receive. Teach us to receive your love. Teach us to be better at demonstrating and sharing your love. Your word says that we have been crucified with Christ. That we no longer live, but Christ lives within us. And maybe we walk that out. May people see something different in us. May Jesus really matter in our lives. And Father, when we come face to face with you, Jesus, we want to hear, "Well done. Good and faithful servant. Come and enter into my kingdom." In Jesus' name, amen. As we close with this last song, the altar is always open. If I invite you to stand if you are able. At the end of the service, don't forget I will be out in the foyer. If anybody, any of our visitors would like to come, and I would love to get to know you and visit with you. We also, before we close, we have a baptism that I'll go in the back. So after this last song, if you'll just remain seated, we'll have the baptism, and then we'll dismiss. Emily, come on out, girl. This is Emily Varela. And family, y'all come on up. Can you stand for me on that one? Emily has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and I love the smile, girl. I'm loving the smile. And we're...
Just a minute.
Oh. All right. We want all your friends to be in here, Emily. While the kids are finishing coming in, let me tell you, we bring the kids back in for our baptisms because we hope it generates questions for moms and dads. So moms and dads and grandparents, if you start getting questions, that's what we like. If you don't know the answer, you can talk to Miss Carlene or myself and we'll help you. Are we good?
We're good.
Okay. All right. As I was saying, Miss Emily, I think the Lord's been in this young lady for a while, but he's really been working in her recently. And she has begun to ask Mom and Dad about being baptized for quite a while now. And we had a good visit with Miss Carlene and Mom and Dad this week, and I'm excited about this. Ed and Miss DiVarella are Mom and Dad and family and friends here with her. So we talked about these questions, and I'm telling you, this girl could preach a sermon because the questions we asked, she knew. And I think that can be attributed to Mom and Dad and also to Carlene and Teresa and our children's ministry have equipping you with that knowledge. So I ask you now, we talked about this word sin, and you knew exactly what that was. Do you admit to God that you are a sinner, Emily? Amen. And do you repent of that sin? Do you ask God to forgive you of that sin?
Yes.
And you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
All right. I don't know if you got that. They were some strong yeses. If you'll sit right there, Dad and I are going to, we'll let you up before you start bubbling, I promise. Emily, I baptize, if you'll just grab in here, Dad. Emily, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Now you can wave at the camera, tell them you're okay, you survived it. Okay, we also talked about how when you make this decision, you're baptized and you ask Jesus to come in your heart, that he wants to come with his Holy Spirit and live inside of you. And so we're going to pray over you and ask him to do that, okay? You guys scoot in here, put a hand on a head or a shoulder or something that whoever you can reach. All right. Lord, thank you for giving your life for Emily. I thank you, God, that she loves you, that you love her. I thank you for blessing her and dying on the cross for her. We ask you to fill her with your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, fill her from the top of her head to the tip of her toe. May she just ooze Holy Spirit. God, create in her the young lady you have called her to be. Bless Mom and Dad and this extended family and friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go and remember Jesus matters. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.